Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today we have a lot to get into. We're excited to have you on board with this. So let's go ahead and dive right into this. Today's a lot to get to. Per usual, but we also want to remember that we are here for a purpose, to pray for the Office of the President. So we want to leave our emotions at the door to remind ourselves that we have souls to save and that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And first thing, want to dive into, we'll go northeast here, and there is interesting news that has come out of Vermont in regards to COVID. In Vermont, what has been found is that of an entire adult population, over 88% have been vaccinated, and over 99% over the age of 65 have been partially vaccinated, yet they are hitting their highest daily COVID case numbers. And this data isn't from just a tweet. If you read here at the bottom, it says from the New York Times COVID-19 data on its 14-day average. And so we're seeing in the United States the same thing that is happening in the UK and in Israel, is that even those who get vaccinated still are able to get the virus. So I say that out there to show that this is the reality, and this is the what's happening with boots on the ground. You know, I've talked about it before with really any other theory, is that you have to wait and see what happens when it actually hits the test of time, when it hits reality. What happens? That lets you know what the reality is and what you can move and make actions on. And the reality right now with this vaccine shows that it is not as effective as they say it is. Now, okay, their terminology is, well, it lowers the symptoms. Okay. But again, at what rate would it have if they wouldn't have got the virus? Would they have the same symptoms, or the symptoms be worse? Like, a lot of it is different. Plus, also in these jabs, do the people have natural immunity? And that's one of the things Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin points out, is he says the science community is not even considering the fact that there is a reality of those who have natural immunity. It's just straight vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. It's not even weighing the opposite side. Even from studies from Israel that showed those who have natural immunity have 27 times more effective resistance to the virus. I throw that out there for news and information's sake only. We want to continue to pray for wisdom and those involved in the situation to be able to look at the reality of boots on the ground of what's happening, because you have situations like we have at the border, and even with the Afghan migrants, where it is being reported that they, even in overseas facilities that they are in, are showing that they have, and because they're being tested for measles among some of the viruses, and varicella, mumps, tuberculosis, malaria, leishmaniasis, hepatitis A, and coronavirus. And what is being reported as of now is the only thing that they're going to get vaccinated for is the measles. They're not even going to make them, the Afghan refugees, get the COVID jab, which is interesting. And one thing that's also interesting in this case is they're going to be stationed permanently and reside. They're going to try to permanently reside them in 46 different states. So this means they're going to have to learn the language, learn the culture. It's going to be a complete culture shock for them. And I mean, I feel for them. They got thrusted out of their environment because of a decision made on paper, thrust into a world where they know nothing and may not want to be a part of. So, I mean, their prayers are needed for them and for their coming to America. And in reality, if they're not saved, hey, this is a great opportunity. If we can't go to the nations, God is literally bringing the nations to us for us to reach them. And I don't think they're going to lose heart. Most of refugees don't lose heart, especially if they're thrust out in this scenario. You know, pray for them a way back to be able to go back in for them to even spread the gospel as well. God works in mysterious ways. And speaking of the actual southern border, there's a lot of, I guess the best way to put it would be double-sidedness coming out depending on which government organization is talking and or a news report is being written about. The Department of Homeland Security is saying, from the department head, Alejandro Mayorkas, is saying that they will begin starting today with small plane flights, 7 small plane flights a day, to send back Haitians who, get this, per an NBC report, who do not want to seek asylum. So they will prioritize deporting single Haitians, adults, and families who are not claiming asylum. Unoccupied children and most families asking for asylum can stay in the U.S. Meanwhile, at the same time, rather than sending them or flying them back to their country of origin, which international law says we should, they're going to be flying them throughout the United States. There's a report coming out from Fox that shows they're going to destinations like Chicago, Denver, Minneapolis, New York City, Yakima, Washington, and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And what's happening is ICE and Border Patrol, ICE is basically hiring private contract companies to fly them all throughout the United States. And Washington, D.C. ICE is telling these smaller offices, you need to clear people out. So what's happening is they're, the catch and release of the Obama administration is back. And so they're bringing them in, moving people out, and they're letting them go. They're setting a court date or not setting a court date, and they're not showing up, not making them responsible, really causing chaos. They're coming in, again, not having to take vaccine shots. You don't really know who they are, why they're coming here, other than, you know, they're saying they seek asylum. You have to have an investigation to really look and to see what's going on. And when you have numbers, they're saying, you know, 12,000, 15,000 and more coming daily, then it's hard to sit there and say you have time to deal with this. It is a humanitarian crisis what's going on at the Del Rio, Texas border, not only for the migrants who are there, but for the area as well, because the supplies are going there because it's short supplied. And so they need wisdom. Border Patrol needs wisdom. Texas needs wisdom. You know, they've been standing up with it, which I think is good. But ultimately, we need to deal with the people who are here. Mayorkas did say that some of these, their new migrants who are coming, need to stop coming because of the July 29th deadline. And I forget the bill that was passed that basically said that they will then, those who are here July 29th will be dealt with. Those after July 29th have to go back to their country, because there are more migrants, and there's rumors and news reports that on cellular devices that these Haitians have who are in Mexico, southern border, and are coming, trying to come to the northern border and get to the United States, that they're being sent messages that say, hey, you need to come, you need to keep coming to the United States, like keep coming, they're going to let you in. So there's a host of chaos going on there. And not only is it sad for them, but it's also a humanitarian crisis in Mexico and the United States. And if you care anything about life and sanctity of life, this is a sad scene to say, but I want to talk about it to have a reality of boots on the ground, what's going on, be sober, and understand the realities at play in our country. All right. I want to focus on some of the things the Biden administration, Biden said specifically. So yesterday he spoke before the UN General Assembly and said some things that were very revealing. He talked about how, you know, the United States, and he said this before, he's just restating basically everything he said before, is, you know, the United States is now back at the table. He says, we're back at the table, international forums, especially the United Nations, to focus attention and to spur global action on shared challenges. He told the assembly, which is very interesting, how were we not at the table before? President Trump was there. Like, it's not like he wasn't present. So that line is very misnomer. Obviously, you know what it is. But what it shows is that ultimately, and it confirms that the Biden administration is ultimately Obama 3.0, not only in policy only, but literally in person and people who are assigned roles within this administration. The decks may be shuffled. Some people may have gotten less public roles, such as Susan Rice, and others may be thrusted to the forefront. But the reality is they're legitimately the same people, just some moved around. And one of the things he said that was very, very interesting of what his focus is he said, I'm quoting President Biden, saying they're going to focus. And this was after he said, you know, a little bit about, you know, we're pulling out of Afghanistan because we're not going to get in wars with bullets and guns and et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk with the World Health Organization. And then he said, but we're going to focus on ending this pandemic, managing the shifts in global power dynamics, shape the rules of the world on vital issues like trade, cyber, and emergency technologies, and facing the threat of terrorism as it stands today. This is very interesting. Managing the shifts in global power dynamics. That's not why we elected him president. We elected him president to protect the sovereignty of the United States and its interests around the world. And there's a whole debate and argument to get into, and that's not what we want to pray for. And that's not what we want to focus on, but it's showing he's speaking lines that have been fed to him. I watched a little bit of it. It's again, hard to watch in normal speed, hard to sit there and watch. Cause he is showing signs of dementia. He mangled his words. Looks like he doesn't know where he's at, and it's a sad scene. Now, at the same time, this is happening, and we need to be praying for him and understanding that prophetically, his administration, those around him, are taking advantage of his diminished mental state. You have the Democratic Party in the spending bill that yesterday we talked about how they had a deadline of till Monday to vote it forward. Otherwise, it was going to pretty much die. The $3.5 trillion spending bill. They passed the bill yesterday by removing $1 billion of support for Israel's Iron Dome spending in the House. And Democrats and Republicans in the Senate and House, well, more so in the Senate, were utterly upset about it. And what is sad, really, Democrats, they were mad about it in voice only, but they voted for it along party lines. The vote was 220 to 211, which is right down party lines. Not one Democrat backed down off of it, which is very sad to see. Of even those who were talking about, we're not going to vote for this. If this and this is in it, they still vote. The House of Representatives voted for it. Now it is going to go to the Senate. The Senate is saying, look, this isn't this isn't going to pass. You're going to have to go back and pass something else. And even there are Democrats who are saying, who are calling out this removing of the support for the Iron Dome. There is Representative Stephanie Murphy, who she says she is outraged and dismayed that some of my colleagues object to helping Israel defend itself from rocket attacks by Hamas and terrorist organizations. And even the Biden administration said, you know, we do support our allies. But here you have Nancy Pelosi caving to specifically AOC and the squad, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, because they pushed back on one of the spending bills earlier this year, and it ended up getting passed anyways. So this one, they're saying, look, you can't go forward with this. Now, Steny Hoyer, the House Majority Leader, did say and talk specifically directly to the foreign minister, Yair Lapid from Israel, saying that this was only a stopgap, and ultimately they're going to, in the near future, transfer funds to them. And actually, I got sent a report just now that CNN is reporting. It got published last night that there are Democrats who are automatically they created a bill to fund Israel's Iron Dome, which, if you're not familiar with Israel's Iron Dome, it doesn't attack people. It shoots down rockets. It's a missile defense system over populated areas within Israel, and it's surrounded pretty much everywhere in Israel. Israeli developed, and funding from the U.S. helps basically save innocent civilian lives. So you're seeing already Democrats backtracking, knowing that they made a mistake, and knowing that they need to stand up for our allies, because it would be tragic. I mean, Steny Hoyer, he's a very, very, very strong supporter of Israel. And for him to – look, you're voting on party lines. It's sad to see that they would push this forward. And ultimately, you know, their big reasoning for – well, the reason why we need to push this forward is – there is the deadline of September 30th that if a resolution isn't implemented, then supposedly the government will be shut down. So that is the narrative. And obviously they know right now, as I said before, Bernie Sanders has said this, he's pushing this. The squad is in line with him, is that they know right now they have an opportunity because there is no political pressure on any Democrats to push this forward. Now, next year is a different story. And part of this bill that they did pass froze the debt limit ceiling till December 16th of 2022. Very interesting. Why till that date? The elections of the 2022 elections are right there, right around the corner at that date. So all this is a lot of political fodder. It's kicking the can down the road. But again, as I said, it is still going to have to go back to the Senate. They will not push this forward. Even Ted Deutch, representative in South Florida, in Broward District, where I used to live, he said, the Iron Dome is a defensive system used by one of our closest allies to save civilian lives. It needs to be replenished because thousands of rockets were fired by Hamas terrorists who control Gaza. Consider this my pushback against this decision. But yet still voted for it. It's very interesting. Yes, God will expose. And let me see who this is. So somebody put in here, I can't see who it is. Somebody put in, it's very true. Each missile from the Iron Dome costs 50,000. Whereas what is also, oh, my dad said that. Each missile from the Iron Dome costs 50,000. And the rockets being shot off by Hamas from Gaza, they're homemade. $500, $50. Like, they don't know where they're going off. They just shoot them off and see what will happen. So this is not good for international relations, number one, but also spiritual relations with God. We as a nation, you know, those who bless Israel will be blessed. And this is complete going against a biblical principle. and really a relational principle within the Bible, with what God would want this nation and every nation to do, which is to support Israel. Now, Israel has its issues. It has its problems. It's not here to say that they're perfect, but it is to say that, you know, being obedient to God and having the fear of God is more important. Now, what is good also, okay, they're passing this bill, and this is the last thing, is that Republicans in the Senate, Senator Mitch McConnell and Senator Richard Shelby from Alabama, have proposed a bill to basically fill in the gap and not go to the 3.5 spending limit. There's not much about it that I've seen. The report was just put out this morning. But it does deal with, okay, funding the government for the short term to prevent a government shutdown, which is what Democrats will be espousing. And ultimately is, again, the bill that was passed in the House will have to go back to the House because the Senate, as of right now, will push it down. Now, our prayer point has been, again, for both Democrat and Republican congressional and Senate leaders to stand against the spending agenda that God has shown us prophetically will cripple the next 3 to 4 generations. And if they pass the House bill that prevents Israel from being funded, spiritually, an alignment there with that agenda within the Democratic Party, it's not necessarily one that bodes well, not only for our natural ally of Israel, but also the spiritual ramifications of it. Look, we've seen what happens when we make policy decisions based upon Israel. Look at Katrina, hurricanes and earthquakes that hit New York and the United States. There's plenty of quote unquote judgment that has hit America after that. So by pushing this forward, it is, you know, we'll see what happens if this doesn't get voted down and voted back to the House of Representatives. But a continued prayer for, again, the two senators, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Their backbone will be needed now more than ever. I know yesterday there were reports that talked about it, Kyrsten Sinema not wanting to back down and really showing that he's like saying to the president that if you don't pass this by then, I'm not even considering certain things. So they've met her requirement. So she is in a vulnerable position to be, I don't want to say manipulated, but she's in a position to be convinced to vote for the spending bill. Joe Manchin, on the other hand, is saying, let's put a pause on this. Let's wait. Let's not rush this. Let's see what's in this bill. Because at the same time, while they're trying to push it through the reconciliation process, they're literally writing the bill to go with it. So there is a lot on the table today. And then moving forward, and the September 30th deadline that they're going to try to push and try to claim is the real motivator behind getting this done, is really the wrong question to be asking. I think the question to be asking is, are there things on the book that we're funding that don't need to be funded? Do we already have money, revenues, and money allocated on the books that if we controlled the budget and we dealt with the budget issue and spending issue, because it's only want to increase spending, and they're going to have to increase the spending limit, debt limit, in order to pay for things that are already on the books, not yet including those things that they want to put on the books now. So prayer is intercession is more important now than at any time moving forward. And your prayers are working. Know that from the background is look, Joe Manchin wouldn't have a backbone if people weren't praying for him, if he didn't understand, look, he is in a vulnerable position, not only with Democrats, but also Republicans as well, because he is in a purple state. So is Kyrsten Sinema. And at the end of the day, scripture, whenever you read, especially in the latter part of the Old Testament with Ezekiel and Isaiah, is God always talks about how He will be revealed, how at the end of the day, the fear of the Lord will come forward and people will know His name. And through this, people will know God's name. If this bill is allowed to go forward it's a very somber moment to see this happen, that Nancy Pelosi would cave to these demands and allow this to go forward. So, want to close in on that today. I know I went a little short after going long yesterday, but we need to continue to stand, not only, for our allies in Israel, but for this nation. Keep our emotions in check because we have souls to save, as our destiny is to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. I'll go ahead and put the prayer points on the Facebook post and in the show notes for those who listen via podcast. Again, if I disappear for a couple of days, it's because I'm in the hospital. Yesterday was nothing really happened day. But now things are in place where all our bases are covered. Dog will be watched if we go to the hospital and we're ready. So thank you for those who are praying along with us and standing with us, not only here for prayer, but for us personally. It's an honor. Don't forget, we have noon prayer today and our healing and deliverance service tonight. You can watch that on our app and on our Facebook and YouTube pages. And we will also have noon prayer for the rest of the week as well. And I'll be back tomorrow morning if I'm not in the hospital. So, blessings to you guys, and I'll see you later. Have a good one.